Steve and Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Steve and Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about how to avoid deal theft. Well, what is it first?
Like car theft?
Yeah. It's only worse and more expensive.
Can I go somewhere and report
and
a deal theft?
Insurance.
Can I? Shoot.
Yeah, you can report it to me.
I would like to file a report, please. Someone stole my deal.
It's funny that you say that. That's exactly why we're doing this show.
I wish there was.
One of our members emailed me and said, I'm wondering if you guys can do a show about deal theft because I just lost 30 grand.
That sucks.
With no insurance, like if you lose it, somebody steals your car, at least you have a chance of getting some money back.
A chance.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landacademy.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Mark asks, I was wondering if it's a normal practice among the group to search not only for liens under the county APN, but also under the owner name, as some liens get recorded against the name only, not against a particular property. Thank you.
I mean, this is a fantastic question, and it's if you're new in the business, I want you to close your ears because this kind of stuff doesn't matter. It's so infrequent and it's only if you're doing your own deals and you're not using a title agent and all that stuff. But if you're a pretty seasoned investor, you've done at least 10 transactions or more, or you know, you're like us where this is your business, you should know that there's a couple types of liens on real estate. Two big picture types, like Roman numeral one, Roman numeral two. Number one is liens that stay with the property. The most common type is property taxes. So if somebody stops paying their property taxes on a piece of real estate, eventually the county is going to foreclose on the property with no repercussions to you as the owner. They're not going to look up your credit score, your credit report. It's not going to damage your credit. What they're going to do, they're only interested in the property. They're going to take the property back and resell it to somebody, however they do that, just to get it back on the tax rolls. That's the first type of lien. It stays with the property. The second type of lien is a lien against the owner. Personal guarantee, it's called, or there's a lot of different names for it based on geography around the country. A good example of that is an IRS lien. So if the tax people come after you, they want all your assets, all the real estate that you own, anything that has any value, or a popular one these days is healthcare lien, where you just didn't pay your hospital bill. And we all have and know people in these situations. You know, so does it ever get enforced? Is it real? In my opinion, in my 15, almost 16,000 transaction opinion, I've seen one healthcare lien affect a transaction, and I've seen zero IRS liens. Does that mean I purchased properties without these things? No. What it means is that, does the IRS really look that closely? Do the healthcare people, does some administrator of a hospital where the owner hasn't paid the bill, really try to have a task force to enforce this stuff? No. What I'm saying in a honest and straightforward real world way, don't worry about this stuff. You only really have to worry about tax liens. And those are really easy to find, right, Jill? I mean, what are the tools that we use?
Well,
the lien reports, you know?
Exactly. I can pull a lien report, or I can even, most of the counties nowadays are they're getting there, I should say, not most, but a lot of counties are. You can go right on the website, pop in the APN or even the last name. You know, there's other ways you can look them up and see what the taxes are due.
Or you could use Title Pro 24/7 like we use.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the other tools that we use to pull lien reports? RealQuest Pro.
There you go. Lots of things. DataTree.
You know, I know that you're more familiar with this than me about pulling lien reports and things like that.
Honestly.
Okay. We use Title Pro 24/7 to pull a lien report against the rural vacant land that we use, where we don't use an actual title agent to close it, which for us is becoming, honestly, far and few between because we just do bigger deals.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, again, something that, or if you're in the middle of your career, you should really understand this, but it's a standard course of business if you hire a title agent to close your deal. Like, if you're buying and selling houses, you don't have to think about this at all. The title agent really looks at it closely. Hope that helps. Today's topic, how to avoid deal theft. Boy, it's just a positive all the way around today.
It really is. I love this today. Thank you.
We got IRS liens and deal theft and happy Monday. Is it Monday?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it is actually Monday today. Today's topic, how to avoid deal theft. This is the meat of the show. What the heck is deal theft? Real estate agents deal with it all the time. Let's use it in a real estate agent context. You're talking to a person who owns a piece of real estate, probably a house, and they're interested in listing it, but you're going through the motions of they're talking to their family, they're talking to their spouse, and time is passing. Well, they've mentioned it to their sister-in-law. What do you think? Should I sell it? Well, yeah, you should sell your house. By the way, I just got my real estate license. Well, no, I've been talking to this guy over here at Century 21, and it's working out fine. No, well, what are you talking about? I'll give you a better rate. And I think I can probably get a better price than this person's talking about. How about you give me a shot? That sister-in-law or brother-in-law, whatever I said, stole the deal. So how does it translate into our world? You send out a bunch of mail, somebody signs it, and you're going to hit congratulations. You're on your way to the bank to buy a piece of property that you think's worth 30 grand, let's say, for 10,000 bucks or 5,000 even in a lot of cases. And somebody finds out about the deal. Somebody, whoever, maybe the buyer, you, talks about it or the seller talks about it. And they
I've
go.
Heard the seller talk about it to family members.
Yeah, or maybe you went to get financing. You're the buyer. You don't have the $5,000. And you talk to somebody about it. And they say, you know what? I just heard that this seller wants to sell for $5,000. I know I can get 30 or 40,000 bucks for this thing.
Right. I'm going to offer him $5,500.
Yeah, and I'm going to close
That's
it today. In fact, I know where this guy lives. I'm going to go knock on his door. We just do the whole thing right there.
Right.
And so they do. They go around you, air quotes, go around you and buy the property. That's stealing, that's a deal theft. So how do you avoid that? I think it's pretty obvious. You just don't tell anybody about it at all.
Keep your mouth shut.
Yeah. You know, but it happens to everyone. It doesn't happen to us very much anymore at all. Or if it does, we don't know about it. Maybe the seller just calls back and says, you know, I changed my mind.
Right. That could be happening.
Yeah, it could be.
If you have enough deal flow, you don't notice it, and it's not hurting you.
That's the answer, Jill. You nailed it. So my point was, Jill, go ahead on that. If you're doing 25 deals this month, does it really matter?
No, I'd never know.
One transaction.
I'd never know. And how many times, then they come, sometimes they will fall through and they might come back. So, and I've had people actually level with me and say, look, I have someone else who offered me this. If I like you, and it's not a lot, it's like a difference of $500. They could be totally fibbing me, and I wouldn't know too, but they would say, look, I have someone else answering this. If you could meet this, great. If not, I got to go. I'm going to take their deal. And then I'll think about it, and often I'll go. It's like a little, it's not much, like you just said, and I'll just say, fine. I had a little bit of a cushion built in anyway. If it's in my cushion comfortable range, I'll do it. Like, that's fine. And then we'll do it fast, man.
Right.
Because the last thing I need is a bidding war. When there's a bidding war, then I'm out. Forget it. But it can happen.
Most of the time, there's super positive stuff on the show, but we have to cover it in all, in all seriousness about, we have to cover some of this stuff that needs to be addressed in a regular business, and we have to cover it on the show. So, but I'll tell you, the blanket answer for almost all of this is just what Jill said. Number one, have a lot of deals coming in. So if a couple of them just like blow up at the end, it's no big deal. And number two, make them like you. Mm-hmm. They'll do business with you over and over again. Or they'll get that all important deal closed. Mm-hmm. You know, if you Jillify it, that's what I call it.
Mm-hmm.
Just be good on the phone and deliver what you're going to say. It's super simple stuff.
Follow through. You know, and the difference is to make sure that they clearly understand what you're providing for them. Like, one of the reasons people love us and sell to us is because we make it so easy. We don't talk about it. We don't go through all the details. It's like, look, I'm going to have a notary come to your house. I'll have all the paperwork ready to go. I'm not going to tell them, well, there's a special warranty deed coming, and then there's an affidavit of property value, and then there's this, and then there's that. Don't complicate it. So tell them, hey, I'll just take care of all the paperwork, and I'm going to have a check to you made out to that amount, you know, that we agreed upon. And all you got to do is you and Mrs. Smith be there to sign, and they'll hand you a cashier's check, and it's that easy. and I'll record it. I'll take care of everything. You don't have to do anything. And then when you properly tell that too, it's like, oh, they might even go with you because of the ease of the transaction and they like you. It's more to it.
Exactly.
You know, what we're providing for them. So,
you know, add a bunch of normal, regular good practices like web presence, you know, and answering your phone on time and returning their calls and meeting them from where they come. You know, we don't talk about buying and selling houses too much on this program, but I will tell you that the reason, you know, there's no competition with land at all. Purchasing land, they're almost always the only seller, only buyer they're talking to. But with houses, there might be another or two people that they've expressed interest. And really what separates you is when you meet that person from where they're coming. And with houses, it's almost always an older couple or a single older person who just wants to sell. They don't want to clean up their house and they need some convenience and they have a little trigger point like, I need to be out by a date, or geez, there's so much garbage in my basement. Can you help me clean it out? That makes all the difference if you address those.
You know what I would not do is get into an argument or get into a, well, how do you know that they're legit? Or how do you know? I would never, ever go down that path.
Yep, I agree.
Just always be positive. Talk about, hey, you got a better offer? I understand. Let me just so you know, here's my offer. If you change your mind or the deal falls through, you know, let me know and I'll still honor it for 30 days, whatever you want to say. I've done that. And then wish them all the best. And you ended that so great that the minute something goes sideways with the other guy who might be sneaking in, oh, you are the first one they're calling.
Yeah.
Go, oh my gosh, that guy was a loser. And you don't want to say, yeah, I thought so. Just go, oh, I'm so sorry. Tell you what, I'm happy to honor it. Heck, I'll even meet in the middle.
Yep.
I know they were going to pay a little more. I'll pay a little extra.
Oh, that,
you know,
stuff
so,
really matters.
So it's real cool. And they're going to go, oh, I love you. And then do it fast.
I mean, how many times do you say some version of this each week? You know, Mrs. Smith, if you have a $40,000 offer on this piece of property, I really think you should accept it as fast as you can.
I do. I do that a lot. If someone wants to pay you that much, it's way more than I'm willing to pay. I'd say grab it before they change their mind.
You know, keep
I tell them that.
Keep my number.
Go, oh.
Keep my number and throw it away after the check clears.
Yeah.
And they almost always call you back.
Yeah.
Because it's a negotiation tactic. Or maybe, I see this too a lot with the younger people. Younger people will make promises. Younger buyers, let's say. I know this because I used to do it. Make promises they can't keep or say, oh, yeah, I'm happy to pay 30 without even checking.
Right.
30,000 is fine. If somebody else offered 30, I'm sure I can offer 35.
Right.
And then you get into it and it's worth $5,000.
Right.
They come crawling back when that happens.
Yeah. That's sad.
I
hate it when that happens. And that's, and you're right. It's people that don't do their homework. They just want to grab the deal that happens. It seems like in houses more than land. They just want to grab the deal and they'll say, oh, I'll pay you $5,000 above asking.
Right.
And then you're halfway down the path and they're like, oh, whoops. No, I'm, my boss said no.
Exactly.
Like, really? Seriously? Thanks.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another, I don't know, 15 minutes listening to the Land Academy show. Join us tomorrow for another interesting episode where we discuss, how much money does it really take to get started in the land business?
Cool. And we answer your question, should you have one, posted on our online community found off of landacademy.com.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
Was a little negative, but I don't think that. I don't think it came across,
you know,
negative.
Sometimes you just have to talk about this stuff and just be aware of it.
It's true.
Stuff never really happens, the deal theft thing. And we wrapped it up in a good positive way where you can turn all this negative stuff into a positive.
Mm-hmm.
And you should actually practice it the second you begin doing
right.
this or anything, really. This stuff applies to life, I think.
You're right. It's just some things to be aware of. We don't want you to walk around being paranoid like, oh, why? My wife told her neighbor, oh my gosh,
yeah.
I can't believe it. Now the deal's going to fall through and it's three states over and the neighbor could care less. You know,
really?
That's
the stuff that really
don't
happens.
Don't be paranoid.
They had too much coffee one day and something happened.
Guess what my husband's buying? Oh my gosh.
Right.
That, yeah, it's okay. Don't be paranoid. But
you know, and the question in the beginning about tax liens and liens, it's happened so infrequently, if ever, that part of me is like, you know, we shouldn't even talk about it. If this is going to discourage somebody up front to try to do this or get involved in it, or even in the middle of your career, oh, great, I got to add something else to my due diligence list. Sometimes it's almost, you have to know about it, though.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stuck in the middle, I guess.
You're doing just fine. Share the fun by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you're listening. And while you're at it, rate us there. We are Steve and Jill.
information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.